Further out, so far away it was only a hazy ginger blob, Magellanic ITG's failed von Neumann machine sprung slowly against the gas giant's yellow-brown ring array. It could be the future, the old man sighed regretfully. If you will only listen, how?
I will, Garrett said. I'll listen.
The old man's scheme seemed to coincide with a pressure of conviction and certainty which was building in his own mind. Some days he seemed so full of ideas and goals he thought his skull must surely burst apart, whilst on other occasions the dream man's long rambling speeches seemed to have developed a tangible echo lasting all day long. That was why he enjoyed the long bouts of solitude provided by the unadventurous interior. Walking and exploring obscure areas was the only time the raging thoughts in his brain slowed and calmed. 5 days after his 14th birthday, he saw Anastasia Rigel. She was washing in a river that ran along the floor of a deep valley. Darriot heard her singing before he saw her. The voice led him round some genuine rock boulders onto a shelf of naked polyp, which the water had scoured of soil. He squatted down in the lee of the boulders and watched her kneeling at the side of the river. The girl was tall and much, much blacker than anyone he'd seen in Vallis before. She appeared to be in her late teens, 17, he learnt later, with legs that seemed to be all bands of muscle, and long jet-black hair that was arranged in ringlets and woven with red and yellow beads. Her face was narrow and delicate, with a petite nose. There were dozens of slim silver and bronze bracelets on each arm. She was only wearing a blue skirt of some thin cotton. A brown top of some kind lay on the polyp beside her. Darriot caught some fleeting glimpses of high-pointed breasts as she rubbed water across her chest and arms. It was even better than accessing blue sense, AV flex, and tossing off. For once he felt beautifully calm. "I'm going to have her," he thought. "I really am." The certainty burned him. She stood up and pulled her brown top on. It was a sleeveless waistcoat made from thin, supple leather, laced up the front.
"You can come out now," she said in a clear voice.
Just for a moment he felt wholly inferior. Then he trotted towards her with a casualness that denied that she had just caught him spying. "I was trying not to alarm you," he said. She was 20 centimeters taller than him. She looked down and grinned openly. "You couldn't."
"Did you hear me? I thought I was being quiet."
"I could feel you."
"Feel me?"
"Yes, you have a very anguished spirit. It cries out."
"And you can hear that?"
"Linyi was a distant ancestress."
"Oh.
You have not heard of her?"
"No, sorry.
She was a famous spiritualist. She predicted the Big 1-2 quake in California back on Earth in 2058 and led her followers to safety in Oregon. A perilous pilgrimage for those times."
"I'd like to hear that story."
"I will tell it if you like, but I don't think you will listen. Your spirit is closed against the realm of Chiri."
"You judge people very fast. We don't stand much of a chance, do we?"
"Do you know what the realm of Chiri is?"
"No."
"Shall I tell you?"
"If you like."
"Come, then."
She led him up the river, bracelets tinkling musically at every motion. They followed the tight curve of the valley. After 300 meters the floor broadened out, and a Starbridge village was camped along the side of the river. Starbridge was the remnants of the cults and tribes and spiritualists who had moved into Vallisk during its formative years. They had slowly amalgamated down the decades, bonding together against the scorn and hostility of the other inhabitants. Now they were one big community, united spiritually, with an outre fusion of beliefs that was often incomprehensible to any outsider. They embraced the primitive existence, living as tribes of migrants, walking round and round the interior of the habitat, tending their cattle, practicing their handicraft, cultivating their opium poppies, and waiting for their nirvana. Darriot looked out on the collection of ramshackle teepees, stringy animals with noses foraging the grass, children in rags running barefoot. He experienced a contempt so strong it verged on physical sickness. He was curious at that. He had no reason to hate the Starbridge freakos. He'd never had anything to do with them before. Even as he thought of that, the loathing increased. Of course he did. Slimy parasites, vermin on two legs. Anastasia Rigel stroked his forehead in concern.